Pip, an orphan, is living with his older sister and her husband, Joe Gargery, the blacksmith. Pip has encountered two escaped convicts on the marshes surrounding his home. After he has helped one of them to food and drink, the convicts have been tracked down, captured, and returned to the prison ships.
Great Expectations, Episode 2.
One night, I was sitting in the chimney corner with my slate, expending great effort on the production of a letter to Joe. I think it must have been a full year after our hunt upon the marshes, for it was a long time after, and it was winter and a hard frost.
I say, Pip, old chap, what a scholar you are, ain't you?
I should like to be.
Why, here's a J and an O equal to anything. Here's a J and a O, Pip, and a Joe.
Ah, but read the rest, Joe.
The rest, eh, Pip? One, two, three. Why, here's three J's and three O's and three Joes in it, Pip.
Why didn't you ever go to school, Joe?
Well, my father, Pip, he was given a drink. And when he were overtook with drink, he hammered away at my mother and me, most unmerciful. Consequence, my mother and me, we ran away from my father several times, which you see, Pip, were a drawback on my learning. Consequence, my father didn't make objections to my going to work. So I went to work at my present calling, and I got acquainted with your sister. As to you, if you could have been aware how small and flabby you was, dear me, you'd have formed the most contemptible opinions of yourself.
Never mind me, Joe.
But I did mind you, Pip. When I offered your sister to keep company, I said to her, and bring the poor little child. God bless the poor little child, I said to your sister. There's room for him at the forge. Hey, ever the best of friends, and us, Pip. Don't cry, old chap.
Now, if this boy ain't grateful this night, he never will be. It's only to be hoped that he won't be pomp-eyed, but I have my fears.
She ain't in that line, Mum. She knows better.
Mrs. Joe and Uncle Pumblechook burst into the room.
She?
And she is a she, I suppose. Unless you call Miss Havisham a he. Now, I doubt even you'll go so far as that.
Miss Havisham uptown?
Is there any Miss Havisham downtown? She wants this boy to go and play there. And of course he's going, and he had better play there or I'll work him.
Well, to be sure. I wonder how she came to know Pip.
Noodle! Who said she knew him? Couldn't she ask Uncle Pumblechook if he knew a boy to go and play there? And couldn't Uncle Pumblechook, being always considerate and thoughtful for us, then mention this boy, standing prancing here that I have forever been a willing slave to? Uncle Pumblechook, being sensible that for anything we can tell, this boy's fortune may be made, and has offered to take him with his own hands to Miss Havisham's. And Laura, mussy me, here I stand talking to mere mooncalfs and with Uncle Pumblechook waiting, and the boy grimed with crock and dirt from the hair of his head to the sole of his foot.
Within a quarter of an hour, we came to Miss Havisham's house. Satis House was of old brick and dismal, and had a great many iron bars to it. There was a courtyard in front, and that was barred. So we had to wait, after ringing the bell, until someone should come to open it. A young lady came across the courtyard.
What name?
Pumblechook.
Quite right.
This is Pip.
This is Pip, is it? Come in, Pip. Oh, did you wish to see Miss Havisham?
Only if Miss Havisham wanted to see me.
Ah, but you see she don't.
Oh.
My young conductress locked the gate, and we went across the courtyard. The cold wind seemed to blow colder there than outside the gate.
Don't loiter, boy.
We went into the house by a side door, and the first thing I noticed was that all the passages were dark. We went through more passages and up a staircase, and still it was all dark. At last we came to the door of a room.
Go in.
After you, miss.
Don't be ridiculous, boy. I'm not going in.
The only thing to be done being to knock at the door, I knocked and was told from within to enter. I found myself in a pretty large room. No glimpse of daylight was to be seen in it. It was a dressing room, as I suppose from the furniture. In an armchair sat the strangest lady I have ever seen or shall ever see. She was dressed in rich materials, all of white, and she had a long white veil, and even her hair was white. I saw that everything within my view which ought to be white had been white long ago and had lost its lustre and was faded and yellow.
Who is it?
Pip, ma'am.
Come nearer. Let me look at you. Come close.
It was when I stood before her that I saw that her watch had stopped at 9:20, and that a clock in the room had stopped at 9:20.
Look at me. You are not afraid of a woman who has never seen the sun since you were born.
No.
Do you know what I touch? Here.
Yes, ma'am.
What do I touch?
Your heart.
Broken! I sometimes have sick fancies, and I have a sick fancy that I want to see some play. There. There. Play. Play. Play! Are you sullen and obstinate?
No, ma'am. I am very sorry for you, and very sorry I can't play just now, but it's so new here, and so strange, and so fine, and so melancholy.
So new to him, so old to me. So strange to him, so familiar to me, so melancholy to both of us. Call Estella! Call Estella at the door!
Estella! Estella!
Let me see you play cards with this boy.
With this boy? Why, he is a common labouring boy.
Well, you can break his heart.
What do you play, boy?
Nothing but beggar my neighbour, miss.
Beggar him.
It was then I began to understand that everything in the room had stopped, like the watch and the clock, a long time ago.
He calls the names Jacks, this boy, and what coarse hands he has, and what thick boots.
You say nothing of her. She says many hard things of you, but you say nothing of her. What do you think of her?
I don't like to say.
Tell me in my ear.
I think she is very proud.
Anything else?
I think she is very pretty.
Anything else?
I think she is very insulting.
Anything else?
I think I should like to go home.
And never see her again, though she is so pretty.
I'm not sure that I shouldn't like to see her again, but I should like to go home now.
When shall I have you here again? Let me think.
Today.
There! There! I know nothing of days of the week. I know nothing of weeks of the year. Come again after 6 days. You hear?
Yes, ma'am.
Estella, take him down. Go, Pip!
I was so humiliated, hurt, spurned, offended, angry, sorry. I cannot hit upon the right name for the smart. God knows what its name was. That tears started to my eyes. At the appointed time, I returned to Miss Havisham's, and my hesitating ring at the gate brought out Estella.
You are to come this way today. Well?
Well, miss?
Am I pretty?
Yes, I think you are very pretty.
Am I insulting?
Not so much so as you were last time.
Not so much so?
No.
She slapped my face with such force as she had.
Now, you little coarse monster, what do you think of me now?
I shall not tell you.
Why don't you cry again, you little wretch?
Because I'll never cry for you again.
We went on our way upstairs, and as we were going up, we met a gentleman groping his way down.
Whom have we here?
A boy.
He was a burly man with an exceedingly large head and a correspondingly large hand. His eyes were disagreeably sharp and suspicious.
How do you come here?
Miss Havisham sent for me, sir.
Well, behave yourself. I have a pretty large experience of boys, and you are a bad set of fellows. Now mind, You behave yourself.
We were soon in Miss Havisham's room, where she and everything else were just as I had left them.
Are you ready to play?
I don't think I am, ma'am.
Since you are unwilling to play, are you willing to work?
Yes, ma'am.
Then go into that opposite room and wait there till I come.
I crossed the staircase landing and entered the room she indicated. From that room, too, the daylight was completely excluded, and it had an airless smell that was oppressive. The most prominent object was a large table with a tablecloth spread on it, as if a feast had been in preparation when the house and all the clocks all stopped together. A centrepiece of some kind was in the middle of the cloth, and, as I looked along the yellow expanse out of which I remember it seeming to grow, like a black fungus, I saw speckled-legged spiders with blotchy bodies running home to it and running out from it as if some circumstance of greatest public importance had just transpired in the spider community.
This is where I will be laid when I am dead. They shall come and look at me here. What do you think that is? That? Where those cobwebs are?
I can't guess what it is, ma'am.
It's a great cake. A bride cake. Mine. Come, come, come. Walk me, walk me. This is my birthday, Pip. On this day, long before you were born, this heap of decay was brought here. It and I have worn away together. When the ruin is complete, and when they lay me dead, in my bride's dress, on the bride's table, which shall be done, and which will be the finished curse upon him. So much the better if it is done on this day. Let me see you two play cards. Why have you not begun?
When we had played some half dozen games, a day was appointed for my return, and I was taken down into the yard and left to wander about as I liked.
Hello, young fellow.
Hello.
Who let you in?
Miss Estella.
Who gave you leave to prowl about?
Miss Estella.
Come and fight. Stop a minute, though. I ought to give you a reason for fighting, too.
In a most irritating manner, he pulled my hair, dipped his head and butted it into my stomach.
Oh, there it is. Now, laws of the game, regular rules.
I judged this pale young gentleman to be about my own age, but he was much taller. My heart failed me when I saw him squaring at me. I never have been so surprised in my life as I was when I let out the first blow and saw him lying on his back, looking at me with a bloody nose and his face exceedingly foreshortened. I am sorry to record that the more I hit him, the harder I hit him. But he came up again and again and again, until at last he got a bad fall with the back of his head against the wall.
That means you have won.
Oh, can I help you?
No, thank you.
Good afternoon.
Same to you.
When I got into the courtyard, I found Estella waiting with the keys.
Come here. You may kiss me if you like.
I entered on a regular occupation of walking Miss Havisham round her own room and across the landing and round the other room. It was at once settled that I should return every alternate day at noon for these purposes. We went on in this way for a long time when, one day, Miss Havisham stopped short as she and I were walking.
You are growing tall, Pip. Tell me the name again of that blacksmith of yours.
Joe Gargery, ma'am.
Let him come soon. And come alone with you.
It was a trial to my feelings to see Joe arraying himself in his Sunday clothes to accompany me to Miss Havisham's.
You are the husband of the sister of this boy.
Which I mean to say, Pip, as I up and married your sister, and I were at the time what you might call a single man.
Throughout the interview, Joe persisted in addressing me instead of Miss Havisham.
And you have reared the boy? With the intention of taking him for your apprentice. Is that so, Mr. Gargery?
You know, Pip, as you and me were ever friends, and it were looked forward to betwixt us as being calculated to lead to larks.
Have you brought his indentures with you?
Well, Pip, you know. You yourself see me put them in my hat, and therefore you know as they are here.
You expected no premium with the boy. Pip has earned a premium here, and here it is. There are 5 and 20 guineas in this bag. Give it to your master, Pip.
This is very liberal on your part, Pip. And it is as such received and grateful welcome, though never looked for, far nor near nor nowheres.
Goodbye, Pip. Let them out, Estella.
Am I to come again, Miss Havisham?
No. Gargery is your master now. Gargery, one word. The boy has been a good boy here, and that is his reward. Of course, as an honest man, you will expect no other and no more.
In another minute, we were outside the gate, and it was locked, and Estella was gone. It is a most miserable thing to feel ashamed of home. Home had never been a very pleasant place to me, because of my sister's temper. But Jo had sanctified it. Now it was all coarse and common, and I would not have had Miss Havisham and Estella see it on any account.
Jo, don't you think I ought to make Miss Havisham a visit?
Well, Pip, what for?
What for, Jo? What is any visit made for?
There are some visits, perhaps, as forever remains open to the question, Pip. But in regard of visiting Miss Havisham, she might think you wanted something, expected something of her.
But, Jo, here I am, getting on in the first year of my time, and since the day of my being bound, I have never thanked Miss Havisham, or asked after her, or shown that I remember her.
That's true, Pip.
What I wanted to say was, if you would give me half a holiday tomorrow, I think I would go uptown and make a call on Miss Esther de Havisham.
Which her name ain't Miss Esther de Havisham, Pip, unless she have been rechristened.
I know, Jo, I know. It was a slip of mine. What do you think of it, Jo?
With what absurd emotions I found myself again going to Miss Havisham's matters little here. Everything was unchanged, and Miss Havisham was alone.
Well, I hope you want nothing. You'll get nothing.
No, indeed, Miss Havisham. I only wanted to let you know that I am doing very well at my apprenticeship and am always much obliged to you.
There, there. Come now and then. Come on your birthday. Aye, you are looking round for Estella. Abroad. Educating for a lady. Far out of reach. Prettier than ever. Admired by all who see her. Do you feel that you have lost her?
When I arrived back at our kitchen, I found it was full of people. And there was a surgeon. And there was Jo, on the floor, in the midst of the kitchen. They drew back when they saw me. And so I became aware of my sister, lying without sense or movement, where she had been knocked down by a tremendous blow on the back of the head, dealt with some unknown hand. Nothing had been taken away from any part of the house, but there was one remarkable piece of evidence. She had been struck with something blunt and heavy, and on the ground beside her was a convict's leg iron which had been filed asunder. Thank you.